Usha, the language of existence, talks on Zen, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number one.
Beloved Bhagwan, Gaya once said to a monk, "The peak experience, the final act, as soon as you try to pursue it in thought, there are white clouds for 1,000 miles. But even if you go back upon seeing the monastery flagpole at a distance, or head off freely upon seeing a beckoning hand, this is still only half the issue. It is not yet the strategic action of the whole capability. You have travelled and studied various places and spent a long time in monasteries. Don't stick to the ruts in the road of the ancients. You must travel a living road on your own. East, west, foot up, foot down, using it directly. Only then will you know that the peak experience illumines the heavens and covers the earth, illumines the past and flashes through the present. This is your own place to settle and live. When I say this, I am only using water to offer flowers, never adding anything extra." On another occasion, Gaya said to a Zen nun, "At the top of a 100-foot pole, go forward." The nun replied, "At the top of a 100-foot pole, there is no place to go." Gaya said, "Where there is no place to step, go 1,000 steps further. Only then will you be able to walk alone in the red skies, pervading the universe as your whole body." The nun agreed, and Gaya continued, "That's all. Now you want to return to your old capital and have come with incense in your sleeve to ask for a saying. I once made a verse of praise on the master of Ikusan, so I will write that. Atop the pole, walk on by the ordinary route. It is most painful when taking a tumble in a valley. Earth, mountains, and rivers cannot hold you up, and space suppresses laughter, filling a donkey's cheeks. I ask you, Zen Nun," continued Dio, "to bring this up and look at it time and again. How to go forward from atop the pole. Suddenly, when the time comes, you can go forward a step, and space will surely swallow a laugh. Remember, remember."
Minister, before I discuss Dao's very significant statements, I have to inaugurate avirbhavas, medium of God, he has brought you great God. Before she brings her God before you, I have to say something about this. Octopus. On the island of Kofu, in the Greek archipelago, the octopus was worshipped as an incarnation of one of the Greek gods, known as the most evil of the sea animals. The innocent octopus acquired the name devil fish by fearful ancient fishermen. Second is crocodile. Among the southern Bantus of Africa, the crocodile is considered sacrosanct. The Egyptian god Sebek was believed to take the shape of a crocodile. Sometimes he was represented as a holy animal, sometimes only with a crocodile head. Offerings of cake, meat and honey and wine were made to the sacred crocodile, some of which were tamed by a priest. Oracles were drawn from the crocodile's behavior and they were embalmed at death. And the third, lobster. The lobster was generally considered sacred among the ancient Greeks. In New Caledonia, the crab goddess or demon is known to have a sacred grove. On the trees in her grove are hung little packets of food for her. She is the enemy of married people and is known to cause elephantitis. Even today, the lobster is worshipped in the Isha district, fishing villages of Japan. Huge replicas are paraded through the towns during their festivals. Before I ask Avirbhava to bring her new acquired god, I have heard a joke about October. Klopaski is overjoyed with his new pet octopus, Clyde. The magnificent creature drinks vodka like a fish, but also can play any musical instrument in the world. One evening, after polishing off a few bottles of vodka together, Clyde and Klopski go out to the Jump in Jellyfish Jazz Club. Klopski shouts, "Hey everybody, I will bet anyone here that my octopus can play anything anyone gives him." Laughter fills the bar. Then Benny, the banjo player, says, "Okay, I bet you $50 He can't play my banjo. Lovsky nods enthusiastically, swallows back a shot of vodka, and one he gives to Clyde. The octopus allows his drink and crawls onto the stage, grabbing not one but two banjos on the way. As he plays "God Save the Queen," he sneaks out a very tentacle and snatches another glass of vodka. "Hey man," as speaks the piano player, "that is cool, but I will bet you $100 he can't play my grand piano." "Right," as Klops, swallowing his vodka and pouring one for the octopus, Clyde knocks back the vodka and jumps on the piano, waving all his arms about wildly. Clyde plays the Polish national anthem stylishly. "That is fine," comes a shout from the corner, "but I will bet you find $500 he will never be able to play this." It is Hamish McTavish, and he brings a big old Scottish bagpipe up to Klopski. "Okay," says Klopski. But before Klopski can touch it, Clyde leaps on the bagpipe, excusing and tangling his arms all over it. Then the octopus and the bagpipe fall onto the floor in a knotted heap, making only a pitiful gasping sound. Losing the bet, enraged Klopski grabs the octopus, holds him up in the air, and cries, "What the hell went wrong with you?" "Well," grins the octopus drunkenly, "she looked so beautiful, but I just could not get her cotton panties off." Now, Amitabha, come on. grass are Dio once said to a monk, the peak experience, the final act, as soon as you try to pursue it in part, there are white clouds for 1,000 miles. But even if you go back upon seeing the monastery flagpole at a distance, our head off freely upon seeing a beaconing hand, this is still one half the issue. It is not yet the strategic action of the whole capability. You have traveled and studied various places and spent a long time in monastery. Don't stick to the ruts in the road of the ancients. You must travel a living road on your own. This can be called one of the very fundamentals of Zen. Don't stick to the ruts in the roads of the ancients. You must travel a living road on your own. The fact is, you cannot travel on anybody's road, because that road will never lead you to yourself. It will lead you to somebody else whose road it is. Never be a follower. Always be a pathfinder. And the path in the unknown reality of your inner world is made by walking into the unknown without any prepared road by others for you. All the religions are doing that. They are preparing roads for millions of people. High roads, super high roads. There are 600 million Catholics walking on one road. They are not going to reach anywhere. Not a single one of them has reached to the state even of Jesus Christ. And nobody even thinks about it. 600 million Catholics. For 1800 years, following a certain road persistently, and they have not produced a single Jesus worth the name. It is not their fault. It is our whole mental makeup. We have been told that you have to walk on paths which are prepared. But this is a different path. All paths that go outward are prepared beforehand. You can go to north, you can go to south, You can go anywhere, the Lord is ready. But to go inside, no road is ready. You will have to create it by walking. It will remain always an individual pathway. Nobody else will ever walk on it. And nobody else should ever walk on it. Because that will lead him into a hypocrisy. He will become someone else that he is not. It is a very important message. Don't stick to the ruts in the road of the ancients. All the religions emphasize the opposite. All the religions try to prove that they are the most ancient. To be an ancient religion is a great value. The reality is, the more ancient a religion is, the more rotten it is bound to be. The more ancient, the more farther away from you. There is no question of following any ancient way. You should not follow even a modern way, because all ways that are created by others may be suitable for them. This is a great challenge of existence, that you have to create your own path to your own temple. No help is possible. And it is the grandeur of humanity, a tremendous dignity, that you can follow only your own path. All religions are leading people wrong. They are destroying people into seeds. An authentic religion will create a man in a line who walks alone, who never walks in a crowd. The crowd never suits him. Because with the crowd you have always to compromise. With the crowd you have always to listen to others, their criticism, their appraisal, their conceptions of right and wrong, their values of good and bad. In the crowd, you cannot remain natural. The crowd is a very unnatural environment. Unless you are very aware, the crowd is going to crush you into dust. It is because of this reason you don't find many Buddhas in the world. A Buddha has to fight inch by inch his individuality. He has not to give way to the crowd, whatever the cost. Unless such uncompromising, attitude remains, constantly in you, you cannot remain unaffected by the crowd in which you live. And unfortunately, everybody is born in a crowd. The parents, the teachers, the neighbors, nobody is fortunate enough to be born alone. So that is out of question. You are born in the society, in the crowd. If you can keep your intelligence clean of the pollution that will be surrounding you from every side, sooner or later you will be somebody else that nature has never destined you to be. Remember constantly that you have your own destiny, just as everybody else has his own destiny. Unless you become the flower, the seeds of which you have been carrying within you, you will not feel blissfulness, fulfillment, contentment. You will not be able to dance in the wind, in the rain, in the sun. You can be in the paradise only as an individual. If you have followed the path that you create by walking in, there are no already made pathways. When you enter in, you enter into pure space, not a road, but not even footprints. Buddha used to say that the inner world is just like the sky. The birds fly, but they don't leave their footprints. Nobody can follow their footprints, because in the sky their footprints are not as they have flown. Their footprints have dissolved. The inner sky remains always pure, just waiting for you, because nobody can get inside you. He is saying you must travel a living road on your own. East, west, foot up, foot down, using it directly, only then will you know that the peak experience illumines the heavens and covers the earth, illumines the past and flashes through the present. This is your own place to settle and live. Following your own path, not imitating anybody, you are bound to reach the space where you will feel the home has arrived, where you can settle for eternity. When I say this, I am only using water to offer flowers. never adding anything extra. He is perfectly aware that people may start following him . Such is the stupidity of humanity. The man who is saying, never follow anybody, they say, okay. But their okay means, now we are going to follow you. When the person is saying never follow anybody, he is included in that anybody. Then why he is speaking, what he is doing? He says, I am only using water to offer flowers, never adding anything extra. I am saying the very essential, not adding anything extra, just like watering flowers. Such a simple thing. Following yourself is such a simple thing. The flowers will start blossoming. You just go on watching them, nursing them with your attention, with your love, with your silence, with your celebration, with your laughter. You just don't add anything extra from other sources, from scriptures, from great teachers, from Buddhas. Nobody is to be included on your path. Your path has to be absolutely pure and virgin. On another occasion, Dayo said to a Jain nun at the top of the 100-foot pole, go forward. It will look a very absurd statement. At the top of the 100-foot pole, go forward. You will think this man is mad. There is no way to go anywhere. You will cling to the pole. But going inside is just like this. As if you are standing on a 100 feet long pole. And when you go in, there is no road. Just pure inner sky. It is a jump into the unknown. But a jump of tremendous beauty. You may have heard, or you may not have heard, on the China Wall that surrounds the whole country, it is the biggest wall in the world. It took 1,000 years to be built. It is almost a mountain. And it is as wide that you can drive a car on it. And as high as 60 feet, 70 feet, 80 feet, as the terrain allows it. It was against the Mongol attacks to prevent them entering China. And of course, they were absolutely unable, 100 feet wall extending between Mongolia and China. And China has suffered so much from Mongols. That it took this tremendous task, almost inhuman. 1,000 years it took to make the wall, and millions of people were engaged in the work. But it has to be done because great Mongols like Genghis Khan alone killed 40 million people. Killing was their joy. His son killed 30 million people. Another Mongol, Tamerlane, killed again 40 million people. The successor of Tamerlane, Nader Shah, is expected to have killed more than any of his forefathers, but there is no record available. The whole China must have become so threatened by these monsters, murderers, for no reason, just for simple joy. Burn a whole city alive they made this China war. A fictitious story is connected with the China war. There is a place in the China wall, it is said that if you stand there and look at the other side, you simply give a good laughter and jump. You are never returned back. Many people have tried, but they simply laugh and jump, and it is 100 feet, a mountainous trail. The fiction became so much a reality that the government has to put soldiers to prevent people looking from that place. Nobody could explain what happens, why they simply laugh, what they see, and then without saying anything to anybody, they simply jump. I don't think it is a historical fact, but I understand it as a mythological and a very beautiful phenomenon. When you look in, you are looking in a tremendous nothingness. And all that the mystics have done, they have given a laugh and jump. They have said simply goodbye, and jump. It is so much enchanting, so magnetically pulling, the gravitation is so much that once you look in, you cannot resist taking the jump. It is risky, it is dangerous, you may be lost, but on the contrary, you find yourself for the first time. You were lost before, hence the laughter, and now you have come home. It was just looking inward, and everything that you ever wanted is fulfilled. You have entered the lotus paradise. Dao's statement at the top of the 100-foot pole, "Go forward," is not concerned about its actual pole. It is concerned about your 100 feet long ego. That is your pole, where you are standing. Look within and take a jump. Then go forward. The nun replied, "At the top of the 100-foot pole, there is no place to go." Dao said, "Where there is no place to step, go 100,000 steps farther. Only then will you be able to walk alone in the red sky, pervading the universe as your whole body." Zen has a language of its own. It is simple, but because we are complicated, we cannot understand the simple language. 100 feet long pole you would have never thought that it can be the representative of the ego. Once you see the metaphor, it becomes very clear that everybody is standing on a very long pole, and people are trying to get around longer poles. When Henry Ford died, before his death he was asked, "What have you learned in your whole life, because you became the world's greatest rich man, from poverty to riches, and the Ford said, "Don't remind me. I have learned only one thing, climbing poles." And when you have climbed the pole, you look so awkward, so stupid. Fortunately, you are alone there, sitting on your pole. I have learned the art of climbing poles. That's my whole life. I have not learned anything. I am dying without learning anything from life. The but Dao's interpretation, where there is no place to step, place is always outside. Inside there is no place, there is only space. And you should understand the difference between place and space. You are sitting here. The place you are sitting is one thing, and the space that you are within is another thing. It is nothing material. So there is no question of falling. There is no fear of falling into a ditch. There is no place of any kind, just pure silence and spaciousness. Where there is no place to step, that is the real place from where to begin the journey. Howsoever F says, he has said a great truth. Go 100,000 steps further, only then will you be able to walk alone in the red sky, pervading the universe as your whole body. The nun agreed and Dao continued, that's all. Now you want to return to your old capital and have come with incense in your sleeve to ask for a sail. I once made a verse of praise on the master of Ikusan, so I will write that. Atop the pole, walk on by the ordinary route. It is most painful when taking a tumble in a valley. Earth, mountains and rivers cannot hold you up, and space suppresses laughter, killing a donkey's cheek. Once you have taken the jump into the inner space, everything is easy. Before taking the jump, everything is difficult. You have never thought about that you have any interiority. You have never thought that there is any space inside. When I say your interiority, I don't mean your bones and your heart and your brain. These are all outside coverings of your inside nothingness. When you detach yourself from your body and mind and heart, you find that place from where the journey begins. That is the true pilgrimage, the only pilgrimage that is worth all others are unnecessarily running here and there, not knowing where they are going. I have heard once Bernard Shaw was caught in the railway train without a ticket. He has purchased a ticket, but where he has put it, he has much luggage. Must have been a man like Avirbhava. He travels with 12 suitcases. So he looked into this suitcase, into that suitcase. The whole compartment was filled with his clothes and things and books. And the ticket collector finally said, in desperation, that I know you, everybody knows you. I cannot conceive that you must be traveling without a ticket. It must have got lost. You are having so much luggage. Don't be worried. I will not come again, and I will take the message to other ticket collectors in the train not to bother you. Vanessa shouted at him that, you idiot, you think I am taking all this trouble for you? The problem is not the ticket, the problem is without the ticket where I am going. The train is going so fast and I don't know which station I am to stop. And while you are standing here like an idiot, just do your work and let me find my ticket. He was a world famous man. But he was a man with a very bad memory. A similar story is told about Mullah Nasruddin. But more juicier. The ticket collector comes. Mullah Nasruddin looks into everything, his bag, his pockets. The ticket collector is standing there and he says, you have looked in every pocket, but you don't look on the left side pocket of your coat. Mullah Nasruddin, don't interfere in my work. Never mention that pocket. He said, you are strange. I am simply helping you that you cannot find the ticket. Perhaps why you are leaving that pocket? He said, that is my only hope. If the ticket is not in the left pocket, finish. So first I will look into everything, only at the last resort I make such that pocket, that is my last hope. Don't destroy it. I ask you, Zunnun, continued Dayo, to bring this up and look at it time and again, and how to go forward from atop the fold. I'll give you this poem to remember that this is my message, that you have to leave the place and enter into space. Suddenly, when the time comes, you can go forward a step, and its space will surely swallow a laugh. Remember, don't be afraid of laughing. Just take a step from place into space. Have a good laugh and just go on. We are doing that every day. Not one laugh, but many laughs. Sardar Gurdehan Singh . Wherever this caravan is going, you will be needed. Without you, life will not be so juicy. A haiku by Sodo, after the moon viewing, my shadow walking home along with me. After the moon viewing, a full moon that has become traditional in Zen, on the full moon night, the Zen seekers don't sleep. They walk into the mountains where the moon has made waterfalls as if silver is falling. Where moon has made the whole surrounding a dream. Sodo says, after the moon viewing, this is called moon viewing. It is a tremendous aesthetic experience. My shadow walking home along with me. Such silence, nobody is with me, just my shadow walking along with me. After seeing this whole beautiful world, when you will enter into your home, nobody will be with you, not even your shadow. Your aloneness will be total. Every meditation is a preparation for enjoying the aloneness, which is our nature. Isa wrote, not yet having become a Buddha, this ancient pine tree ideally dreamy. According to those who have awakened, everything is full of Buddhahood. Buddhahood is just the nature of existence. Isa's haiku is saying, not yet having become a Buddha. This ancient pine tree, although it is ancient, but it has not become yet a Buddha. Ideally dreaming, it is still dreaming. Someday it may wake up. This can be said about everybody. We are all unconscious of our ultimate reality. And we go on dreaming, we go on sleeping, we go on desiring, we go on longing for this and that. Not knowing that the greatest treasure is within our awakening. There is no more than becoming a Buddha. You have come to the highest peak of consciousness. Consciousness is the only well. Manisha has asked, beloved Bhagwan, what would you say is the one most significant attribute a sannyasin of yours needs? My sannyasins don't need manisha, any attribute. My perception of sannyas is to be just yourself. If I say any attribute, I am imposing that attribute on my sannyasin. My sannyas is absolute freedom. With freedom, of course, a great responsibility comes, but that is not my business. There is a special event happening in the streets of Jerusalem, and there is great excitement throughout the city. Pontius and Mrs. Pilate are standing on the balcony of the palace, waving to the crowds below. They are watching as Jesus and the procession, following him slowly, make their way through the streets towards Crucifix Hill. Suddenly Jesus stumbles and his cross crashes to the ground, the procession grinds to a standstill. Slowly Jesus gets back on his feet, picks up the cross and carries on. Pontius, did you see that? Remarked Mrs. Pilate. Out of the corner of her mouth, as she continues waving with a smile plastered on her face, "Yes, dear," replies Pontius, "I am afraid he did it again." "Well, I really don't care who he is," remarks Mrs. Pilate. "If he drops his cross one more time, he is out of the parade." In the small hours of the morning, Paddy is crawling along the street on his hands and knees. Suddenly he notices a large pair of boots in front of him and, looking up, sees the outline of police officer O'Leary. "What is going on here?" asks the cop. "I'm just looking for a $10 bill," mumbles Paddy. Says O'Leary, "Are you sure you lost it here?" "Well, it's lovers, Paddy. I did not say I had lost one. I'm just looking." Luigi gets home to Italy from his holiday in California. He is very depressed, and his friend Alfonso asks him, "What's the matter? You know the life of California?" "Mamma mia," replies Luigi. "What a nightmare. I go to California and stay at the Pope, the pasta hostel in Palm Springs. In the morning I go to breakfast. I tell the waiter I want 2 pieces of toast. He brings me only 1 piece. I say I want 2 piece. He says go to the bathroom. Say you no understand. I want a fish on the plate. He say you no fish on the plate. You son of a bitch. Later I have a lunch. The waitress brings me a knife and a spoon, but no fork. I tell her I want a fork. She tell me everyone want a fork. I say, you no understand. I want a fork on the table. He said, you know Dana Pop on the table. You son of a bitch. So I go up back to my hotel room, and there are no seats on my bed. I call up the manager and tell him I want a shift. He said, go to the bathroom. I say, you no understand. I want a shift on my bed. You son of a bitch. So, I am finished. I go out to check out and the man and the desk say, happy holidays and peace on you. I say, peace on you too. You son of a bitch. I go home. Now is the time the air is clean. You have laughed and you are ready. Nivedana. Feel your body to be completely frozen. No movement. Gather yourself in just like an arrow, move deeper and deeper within yourself, soon you will reach the 100 feet pole, from where begins the journey into space. Take a jump without looking back. It is our space. It is our origin. You are blessed this evening, is blessed by your being. A Buddha, just a pure awareness, this awareness is your very nature. You can forget it, but you cannot lose it. It cannot be stolen. It is your very center. To make it clear, Nivedana, relax, but go on entering deeper and deeper into yourself. The body remains far away, miles away. The mind remains miles away. You are just a silent watchfulness. A peace that passes understanding. A bliss that no word can express. An experience of eternity and immortality, which will bring you a great feeling of dance, rejoicing, songs. Even your silence will become a song, and your no movement will become a dance. Those who have known this source have become pure love,
compassion. Consciousness. Purity. This is your ultimate nature. Life is only a school to bring you to this ultimate nature. Those who remain unfortunately unaware of this grandeur of your being, this Everest of your consciousness, are really pitiable. Feel this moment and the silence of it, because you have to carry it with you 24 hours. On this path, there is no specific period for meditation. The whole life has to become meditation. Sitting, standing, walking, waking, sleeping. Meditation continues just like a thread in a garland of flowers. It does not show up, but it is there, the connecting link of each flower. All your actions, gestures are just like flowers, but a consciousness should run through all of them. Only then the garland is a garland, otherwise it is just a heap of flowers. Let your life be a garland with a consciousness connecting every action, every movement, every mood, and it will bring a total transformation. You will be a new man. Each meditation will take away something false from you and will bring some new, fresh quality slowly, slowly. A day comes, your whole life becomes the life of a Buddha. It is not far away. It is always within your reach. Nivedana, come back. But bring with you the silence the experience, sit down for few minutes like a Buddha, this is your nature. As Dio said, remember, he was referring to this experience of meditation. Remember in 24 hours, whatever you are doing, it does not matter. Your remembrance will remain a continuity. Can we celebrate the gathering of the Buddha?
Yes, of course.